بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today this is our first session reading from Lessons in Arabic Language. Medina Book 3, Dr. Fahd Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. So, there are a number of things that need to be said in terms of our introduction. We're going to make it brief as possible. We're going to try to get right into the lesson. So the first thing is that normally we try to start by reminding myself first and reminding each of you of the importance of having sincere intention. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that actions are judged by intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى and every person will have that which they intended, to the end of the hadith. So intention is critical in anything that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a means of nearness to Him. Whether it is a ritual act of worship, like prayer and fasting and hajj, or other than that. And from those things that are known amongst the Muslims, especially from the scholars of Islam, it is known that seeking knowledge is an act of worship. It is an obligation which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made clear to us. طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. That seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. Therefore, seeking knowledge in compliance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came in the authentic sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in fact an act of worship which requires that a person do it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. So let us start by reminding ourselves and reminding one another, if we have companions that we study with, of the importance of seeking this knowledge sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Secondly, and less important, but also importantly, is that we request and we hope that everyone who intends to do this course with us online, live, that you will be regular in attendance and not really missing a session, a live session, unless you have no way to be present. Yani you just can't make it. To be regular in attendance and to be on time. Because this session starts right now at this time of year, immediately after the Asr prayer, and I don't have control over the time of the Iqamah or the length of the Salat that the Imam is going to pray. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit tight right now, but I'm going to do the best I can to be here on time, even if I find that it's going to be impossible for me to start at 3 o'clock, then we'll make the time that we'll start, we'll schedule it to be 3:05 or 3:10 or something like this, so that everybody knows what time I'm expected to be here and what time you're expected to be here. Being regular in attendance and being on time is very, very important. And then thirdly, participating. If you're doing the course live, participating during the discussion of the exercises, participating in the exercises, doing homework assignments in advance before we go over them in the live session, and being engaged with what we're doing while we are having the live session, as well as during the course of the week in preparation for the live session. Very, very important that you be an active participant, reading the lessons, writing as much as possible of the lessons, translating, and doing all of the exercises. So I'm going to do the best I can to be here every week and to be on time and to prepare to present the lesson in the best manner possible. And I hope that you will also reciprocate by being regular and being on time and preparing yourselves for each lesson. So we did have a homework assignment that, previewing the lesson that we're going to start with today, lesson number one. And I should note that because this lesson is quite lengthy, it's going to take us at least two or even maybe three sessions to go through the first lesson. And depending on the length of a lesson, every lesson is going to take at least 2 weeks and maybe 3 weeks, depending on the length. And the point is that we are not going to race through the lessons, but we do want to complete the course in a timely manner. So, in order for us to get through the lesson in a timely manner, it's important that everybody who's going to be a regular participant, that you actually participate by preparing for the lesson during the week and then being engaged, attentive during the live session. Again, this lesson is a lengthy lesson, the first lesson. The English key is 14 pages, and the Arabic text for lesson 1 is 15 pages. So were we to cover the English key and the Arabic text, we have approximately 30 pages or 29 pages to cover. And because in a previous course, when we did this level 3 course, in a previous occasion some years ago, it took us 6 sessions of 1 hour each to get through the English and Arabic key. Because of that, what we want to try to do here this time around is for you to read the English key on your own. So that's why we assigned it to you for homework, and I ask you to read it carefully for your own personal benefit. And then in the live session, we're going to actually go through the Arabic text for the lesson. So the lesson is divided into 2 parts. The first part is related to nouns, and that's the larger part of the lesson. And the second part is related to verbs, and that's the smaller part of the lesson. So in Arabic, in the Arabic section, which we're going to go through today, after briefly looking at the English key, just briefly, quick review of the English key. In the Arabic section, the part of the lesson that deals with nouns is 13 pages, and the part that deals with verbs is only 2 pages. So of the 15 pages, the overwhelming majority is dealing with nouns. Okay, the lesson is divided in half based upon halfway through their questions. Okay, so if we're looking at the Arabic text, and I'm looking at the numbers on the actual book, not the computer numbers, the computer page numbers. Okay, the computer page numbers may be slightly different. But I'm looking at the page number, the number on the actual page of the book itself. For me, it's going to be starting on page 5. So we're going to go from 5 through 12. That's going to be the first half of the lesson. And then on page 13, there are 10 questions on page 13 and 14. So that will be the first half of the lesson. The second half of the lesson begins on page 15. And 15, 16, and 17 continue with nouns, and then verbs begin on page 17, 18, and 19, followed by exercises. So we're going to divide the lesson into half based upon the exercises. The exercises are on page 13 and 14, so everything up to there from 5 to 12 is going to be the first half of the lesson. Exercises on 13 and 14, and then the second half is going to be from pages 15 to 19, which continue with nouns and then go to verbs, and then there are questions on page 19. So that will be the second half of the lesson. We're going to try to do the first half of the lesson from pages 5 through 12 in the Arabic in the first session. And next week, we'll begin with the questions at the end of the first half, pages 13 and 14. Next week, inshallah, we'll try to go over the exercises, the questions on page 13 and 14. And after doing the exercises on page 13 and 14, we'll go to the second half, which continues with nouns, 15, 16, and 17, and then 17, 18, and 19 verbs, and then there are questions at the end on page 19, which I don't know if we'll be able to take them in the next session or in the third session. Maybe. And to cover this chapter 1, this first lesson, it may take us 2 or 3 weeks. At least 2, but maybe 3 weeks. We'll see how it goes. So, again, what we intend to do today is we're going to try to cover from the Arabic text, not from the English key, from the Arabic text, pages in my book was numbered 5 through 12. We don't intend to do the exercises on 13 and 14 today. Inshallah, we'll save them for next week. And next week, inshallah, we'll continue reading from 15 to 17, nouns, and then 17 to 19, verbs. And if we have time, we'll look at the exercises. We'll see how next week is going to go, depending on how we do this week. So, before we start reading from the Arabic text on page 5, we're just going to have a quick, as we mentioned in the homework assignment, quick overview of the English key, pages 1 through 8. And the computer page numbers is 5 through 12. But I'm going to be referring to the page numbers in the book itself, not the computer page numbers. So if you're looking at it on the computer, page numbers are going to be slightly different because there's like 4 pages in the beginning of the PDF that are not pages from the book. So the first page actually is going to be on the computer. It's going to be page 5. But we're going to start, we're going to read from the page numbers in the book. So please try to pay attention to the page numbers in the book, not the page numbers on the computer. All right, so right now what we want to do is we want to have a quick overview of the English key, pages 1 through 8, the book page numbers, or 5 through 12 on the computer page numbers. That's what we want to do first, and then we're going to go to the Arabic text, which is going to be the core of our lesson for today, the Arabic text. Okay, so in terms of the English key, this is just a quick overview, right? It begins by saying in this lesson we learn A, the declension of nouns, and B, the moods of verbs. So that's what this lesson deals with, mostly with the declension of nouns, and then a little bit dealing with the moods of verbs. As far as the declension of nouns, the English key begins with mentioning the primary signs for i'rab. Dhamma if it's marfu'un, fatha if it's mansub, kasra if it's majrur. And then they give some examples, and then they said these endings are called the primary endings, alamat al-i'rab al-asliya. Says there are other endings also which are called secondary endings, alamat al-i'rab al-far'iyya. And the following groups of nouns have these endings. And then they mention 5 groups of nouns, the sound feminine plural, the diptote, the 5 nouns, the sound masculine plural, and the dual. These 5 groups of nouns have secondary endings, alamat al-i'rab al-far'iyya. After that, the next subject it goes into, and you need to know these 5 groups of nouns well. And we've studied most of this in book 1 or book 2 previously. So this is basically a review. The second thing that it deals with on page 5, on the book page numbers, latent endings, al-i'rab al-taqdiri, latent endings. Yani, the endings of nouns where you don't actually see the vowel changing. Okay, this is called al-i'rab al-taqdiri. And there are 3 groups of nouns in which the endings do not appear for phonetic reasons. These are al-maqsoor, that is a noun ending with a long A, al-mudhaf, to the pronoun of the first person, al-mudhaf ila ya al-mutakallam, and the third is the manqus, a noun ending with an original ya. So this is discussed in some detail with some examples. And then the final topic is the indeclinable nouns. Yani al-mabni min al-asma. And then they mention that most Arabic nouns are declinable, some are indeclinable. That is, they do not indicate their functions by changing their endings. And the following groups are indeclinable. Yani nouns that are mabniyun, and then they mention 7 nouns. Pronouns, any personal pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, some interrogative words, some adverbs, verb nouns or verbal nouns, and compound numbers. So those are the topics that we're going to deal with today. And this is how it's presented in the English key. The arrangement of the material is slightly different in the Arabic text in that the groups, the 7 groups of words that are mabniyun, nouns that are mabniyun, in the Arabic text comes on the first page, whereas in the English key they come at the end of this first part of the lesson. So other than that arrangement of the pronouns that are mabniyun coming in the Arabic in the beginning, in the English text it comes in the end, for the most part the general order is followed. Yani, English and Arabic has the same general order. This is not a literal word-by-word, yani verbatim translation in the English key of the Arabic. But the material is basically the same, and the order is basically the same, except, as I mentioned, those nouns which are mabniyun, the seven groups or categories of nouns that are mabniyun, in the English key they're mentioned at the end of the first half of the lesson. That is on the bottom of page 6 and continued on 7 and 8. In the Arabic text they mention on the first page, on page 5 and 6 and 7, or 5 and 6. So other than that, the arrangement of the material is basically the same order, although it's not a literal translation. So reading the English key is for your benefit so that you can know or you can compare the English terminology with the Arabic terminology, so that you can know, yani, the corresponding English and Arabic terminologies, and if sometimes there's some difficulty in following some of the explanations or definitions in Arabic, you can always go back to the English key and try to get some help there. But basically, we're going to be, for this lesson especially, we're going to be focusing and depending upon the Arabic text of the lesson from page 15 pages, from page 5 to 19. Today, we're going to take, inshallah, pages 5 through 12. On page 13, there are 10 exercises. We're not going to do those today, inshallah. We're going to save them for the next session. So today, inshallah, we're going to be reading from the Arabic, pages 5 through 12. Again, the English key can be of help. Sometimes there are extra examples in the English key that may be helpful, and sometimes the explanation may be easier to follow in English than in Arabic. But in any case, at this point, we're at level 3. Everybody should be able to read the Arabic. Again, if you have some difficulty, the English key is there to help you. Today, inshallah, we'll read from the Arabic text again. We'll read from the Arabic text, which the PDF file on the computer, the pages that we're going to read from are numbered from 4 to 11, but on the actual book, the pages are numbered from 5 through 12. And I'm going to be referring to the pages in the actual book, not the pages on the computer for the PDF file. All right, let's read. So that is the introduction. It took more time than I expected or hoped for, but in any case, this is how we're going to do it. Okay, so let's look at the Arabic text. Focus on the Arabic text. Starting on page 5. Ad-Darsu al-Awwalu. The first lesson. It says, Al-I'rabu wal-Bina'u. This is the title of the lesson. This is the core subject matter of this lesson. Al-I'rabu wal-Bina'u. Al-I'rab means declination, and bina means non-declination. Or, yani, al-I'rab means those words that decline, their endings change to reflect their function in the sentence. And bina means the endings do not change, they are fixed. The endings do not change to reflect their function in the sentence. So al-I'rab is in reference to the changing of the endings of words to reflect their function in the sentence. If it is marfu'an, then it should have dhamma. If it's affected by a preposition and it becomes majrurun, then it takes kasra, it changes to kasra. If it's mansub, it changes to fatha, and so on. Those changes on the end of the word, whether it's vowel changes or letters that change, this is what we mean by al-i'rab. Yani, a word that its ending changes to reflect its function is called mu'rab. And then we have al-bina, which means the ending of the word does not change. It's fixed. Bina means it's fixed. It doesn't decline. It doesn't change its ending. Neither the vowels nor the letters change to reflect its function in the sentence. That's what this first lesson is dealing with. Al-i'rab and al-bina. The endings of words changing or being fixed. This topic, al-i'rab and bina, is divided into two parts. Al-I'rab al-Bina in reference to nouns. That's the first part of the lesson. And the second part of the lesson, which is only a couple of pages, is Al-I'rab al-Bina in reference to verbs. So the first part of the lesson, and that's the majority of the lesson, is dealing with Al-I'rab and al-Bina in reference to nouns. And the last part of the lesson, which is very brief, is Al-I'rab and al-Bina in reference to verbs. So most of this lesson is going to be dealing with nouns. Yani how the endings change, what changes them, what changes they make, and how do we identify what those changes mean, or words that the endings don't change in spite of their changing function in a sentence. Even though they may have a different function in the sentence, the endings are not going to change. Most of this lesson is dealing with nouns. The last couple of pages deal with verbs. We'll be looking at that next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so what do we want to know about the i'rab and the bina of nouns? The first statement here, al-ismu imma mu'rabun wa imma mabniyun. Yani the noun in Arabic is either mu'rab, declinable, its ending changes to reflect its function in the sentence, wa imma mabniyun, or it is mabniyun, its ending is fixed, it's non-declinable, its ending doesn't change to reflect its function in the sentence. The noun in Arabic is either mu'rab, its ending changes, or it is mabniyun, its ending does not change. Tayyib, so what is a noun that's mu'rab, and what is a noun that's mabniyun in Arabic? فَالْمُعْرَبُ, the noun that is mu'rab, مَا تَغَيَّرَ آخِرُهُ بِسَبَبِ الْعَامِلِ. Al-mu'rab, the noun that's mu'rab, is the noun, the ma here is not negation, it's ma al-mawsoola. It's al-mu'rab is the noun الَّذِي تَغَيَّرَ آخِرُهُ بِسَبَبِ الْعَامِلِ. Yani, تَغَيَّرَ آخِرُهُ, its ending changes بِسَبَبْ الْعَامِلِ, due to the عَامِلِ, yani, the thing that acts upon it, that causes its ending to change, the causative agent. The amil is the causative agent. Yani, it's something in that sentence that causes the end of another word to change. Yani, it's the word that governs another word. It causes that word to change its ending. That's the amil. Okay? So the amil could be a verb, it could be a preposition, it could be a harf, it could be different things that when it's introduced on the sentence, it may cause the ending of that word to change. It may change it from being marfu'un to being mansub or majrur and so on. So what is the mu'rab noun? The mu'rab is alladhi, ma here means alladhi taghayyara akhiruhu. Its ending changes bisababi al-amil, due to the causative agent, the thing that acts upon it, that governs it. For example, nahu. Ja'a al-mudarrisu. The teacher came. Ja'a is the amil that governs al-mudarrisu, that determines, makes it, causes it to be marfu'un, and therefore it's ending with dhamma. Ja'a al-mudarrisu. Because of the verb ja'a, al-mudarris being the fa'il for ja'a, it governs mudarris and causes it to be marfu'un, therefore ending with dhamma. Same word, mudarris, with a different amil, a different, yani governing word. Sa'altu al-mudarrisa. Here, in this sentence, sa'ala is the fi'l, tu is the fa'il, and mudarris is the maf'ulun bi. It's the maf'ulun bi. Therefore, as the maf'ulun bi, it changes from being marfu'un to being mansub, and therefore its ending changes from dhamma to fatha. Third example, sallamtu ala al-mudarrisi. Here, the governing word is ala, the preposition, and mudarris is the object of the preposition. And therefore, it causes it to be majrur, thus ending in kasra. So we see the same word al-mudarris, on one occasion being marfu'un with dhamma, in another occasion being mansub with fatah, and in another occasion being majrur with kasra, depending on the amil, the active agent that governs it, causing it, yani, to be marfu'un or mansub or majrur. This is the mu'rab, the noun, its ending changes due to the amil that governs it. What is the mabni? Wal mabniyu ma la yataghayyaru. La yataghayyaru akhiruhu bisabab al-amil. Yani, the mabniyu noun is the noun that alladhi la yataghayyaru. Its ending doesn't change due to the amil. Yani, no matter what causative agent, no matter what amil comes, yani, governing it, its ending doesn't change. Its mabniyun means its ending is fixed. It's built upon a certain ending. Whether the ending is kasra or dhamma or fatah or sukoon, it doesn't change. No matter if it's the fa'il or the maf'ulun bi or the object of a preposition, the ending doesn't change. Alright, so the difference between the mu'rab and the mabni, the mu'rab, its ending changes due to the amil, and the mabni, its ending does not change, no matter what amil, yani, governs it. Examples of the mabni, ja'a ha'ula'i. In this sentence, yani, these came, these people or these students or whoever, they came. Here, ha'ula'i is the fa'il for ja'a. It's the fa'il, and the fa'il is marfu'un. But unfortunately, ha'ula'i, not unfortunately, but as it is, ha'ula'i is the ism ishara. And the asma al-ishara, except their duals, as we will see, the asma al-ishara are mabniyun. So this word ha'ula is fixed. It's mabniyun, fixed, ala, yani, kasra. It is fixed with, to end with kasra. Even though it's the fa'il, and fa'il is marfu'un, but because it's a word that's mabniyun, so we say it's mabniyun, it's not marfu'un, but it's in the place, it's in the position as the fa'il where it should be marfu'un. How do we say it's in the place where it should be marfu'un? We say, fi in mahalli, the place of raf. In the place of raf, marfu'un. In the place where it should be raf, yani marfu'un, nominative. Word that's mabniyun, like ha'ulai, or any word that's mabniyun, and we'll see that there are seven categories we're going to look at just after this. Those seven categories of words, even if they are the fa'il, or the maf'ulun bi, or the object of a preposition, if they are mabniun on kasra, they remain as kasra. If they are mabniun on dhamma, they remain dhamma. If they are mabniun on sukoon, they remain sukoon. The ending doesn't change. So here, we have ja'a ha'ulai. Ha'ulai is the fa'il. Fa'il is marfu'un. But here, this word is mabniun. So we don't say it's fa'il marfu'un. We say it's the fa'il. It's mabniun, because it's ism ishara. It's mabniun, and it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, fi mahalli raf. Second example, sa'altu ha'ula'i. I asked these people, students, whatever. I asked these. Here, sa'ala is the fi'il, tu, the pronoun tu is the fa'il, and ha'ula'i is the maf'ulun bi. As the maf'ulun bi, it should be mansub, but because it's a ism ishara, it's from the groups of nouns that are mabniun, we say, yani, it's the maf'ulun bi, but it's mabniyun in the place where it should be mansub. Fi mahalli nasbin. Nasbin from mansub. Fi mahalli nasb. In the place where it should be mansub. Accusative case. Third example, sa'altu or sallamtu ala ha'ula'i. I greeted or gave salams to these. In this sentence, Sallama is the fi'il, tu is the fa'il, ala is the harf jar, and ha'ula is the object of the preposition. Ism majrur, the object of the preposition is majrur because of ala. The kasra here is not the sign of it being majrur. Rather, this kasra is permanently fixed on this word, no matter if it's the fa'il, the maf'ulun bi, or the object of a preposition. So we don't say that it's majrur, and the sign that it's majrur is kasra, we say no. Ha'ulai is the ism ishara, it's mabniyun. As the object of the preposition, it is in the place where it should be majrur. Fi mahalli jar. Okay, so when we say في محل رفع, we mean in the place where it should be مرفون. When we say في محل نصب, we mean in the place where it should be منسوب. And when we say في محل جر, we mean in the place where it should be مجرور. So, in summary, the noun in Arabic is either معرب or مبنيون. معرب means its ending changes due to the عامل, and مبنيون means its ending does not change regardless of the عامل. It's مبنيون, it's in the place where it should be مرفوعون, or in the place where it should be منسوب, or in the place where it should be مجرور. Okay, so that is very important, basic information, inshallah, that we already knew. But in any case, we just want to clarify before we go into the details of this lesson. The noun in Arabic is either مُعْرَبٌ, its ending changes, it's declinable, or it is مَبْنِيٌ, its ending is fixed, it's indeclinable, it doesn't change. Now, the next statement is what? الْمُعْرَبُ وَالْمَبْنِيُّ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ. This is the topic. The nouns which are مُعْرَب and the nouns which are مَبْنِيٌ. The nouns whose endings change, مُعْرَب, and the nouns whose endings do not change, مَبْنِيٌ. الْأَسْمَاءُ كُلُّهَا مُعْرَبَةٌ مَا عَدَى الْفِيَةِ الْآتِيَةِ. This statement is fundamental. الْأَسْمَاءُ كُلُّهَا, nouns, all of them are مُعْرَبَة, yani are declinable, their endings change. مَا عَدَى, except, with the exception of الْفِيَات, الْفِيَات الْآتِيَة, the following groups or categories. Nouns in Arabic are all مُعْرَبَة, except the following groups. And here we're going to mention, or there's going to be the mention of seven groups. These seven groups, we have had some familiarity with all of them at some point or another, some in greater or lesser detail. But these are not new groups of nouns. These are not new categories of nouns that we are not familiar with. So there are seven groups of nouns. They are the exception to the general rule that nouns in Arabic are all mu'rab. They all change their endings to reflect their function in the sentence based upon the amil that is governing them, except these seven groups. So you have to know these seven groups. You should memorize them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 groups, and their yani the terminology that's used for them and what they represent, what is included in them. Okay, we already know these groups. We may not have memorized them as a listing of seven nouns, but we are familiar with all of these different types of asma. So the first type is ad-dhamair, pronouns. Okay, we were introduced to pronouns in book 1, in lesson 4. The second group is asma al-ishara, demonstrative pronouns. We were introduced to demonstrative pronouns in lesson 1 and lesson 2 of book 1. First thing we started with was demonstrative pronouns. هَذَا and ذَلِكَ and تِلْكَ and هَذِهِ. Number 3, الْأَسْمَاء الْمَوْصُولَةِ. الْأَسْمَاءُ الْمَوْصُولَةِ, relative pronouns. We were also introduced to the relative pronouns early on in book 1. Singulars and plurals, feminine, masculine and feminine forms. الَّذِي and الَّتِي and الَّذِينَ and الَّاتِي and so on. We were introduced to this in book 1. The fourth category, asma'u al-istifham, interrogative words. At least some of them, if not all of them, interrogative words. Yani ism istifham means a noun that you ask a question with, like men, aina, ma hadha. We had that in lesson 1. Ma hadha, right? Mata, kayfa. So ma and men we had in lesson 1, and we had aina and mata and so on in book 1. So we know about al-asma al-istifham. We might not have remembered or paid attention to the fact that these types of nouns, except ayy, yani which, is not yani mabniyun, it's mu'rab. But generally, the asma al-istifham are mabniyun. Men, who, ayna, where, ma, what, mata, when, kayfa, how. These are interrogative words. The fifth group is بعد الظروف, some of the adverbs, like either, الآن, حيث, and أمس. Some of them are mabniyun. Number seven, asma' al-af'al, yani the ism fi'l, means the noun that has the effect of a verb. It has the meaning or the yani power of a verb. It's a noun, but its meaning is like a verb. Ism fi'l, or asma' al-af'al. And the seventh group is al-a'dad al-murakkaba, yani the compound numbers. Yani where two words come together to make a number. Compound numbers, we had this in book 2. We had this in book 2. Two lessons dealing with the masculine and feminine. Ma'adud, with compound numbers. Alright, so all of these categories we've seen before. Either in book 1, a lot of it in book 1, and some of it in book 2. So these are not words or types of words that we are not familiar with. Alright, so these are seven categories, we should remember them. Pronouns, yani personal pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, interrogative words, adverbs, verbal nouns, and compound numbers. We need to know that these types of words, these seven categories or groups of words, are the exception for nouns. They are mabniyun. Nouns generally are all mu'rab. The endings change. But these seven categories, with some details that we'll look at now and some later, any of these seven categories are the exception. These types of nouns, these categories or these groups of nouns, are mabniyun. So the mu'rab and the mabni from asma, what we say is that nouns are all mu'raba, with the exception of these, the following seven groups which we have just named. Okay, let's just look at it a little bit more carefully at the examples that they give for these seven groups, and then we'll go on to the next topic, which is the primary and secondary signs for nouns. The first group, the ma'a, the example that they give is huwa, personal pronoun. It's a separate pronoun. It's not attached pronoun, right? So this is one type of pronoun. Huwa, hum, anta, antum, ana. These are personal pronouns. They are separate pronouns. And then they gave examples of connected pronouns. Dhahabtu and qalu. Yani, dhahabtu, the two, which could be the habtu, the habta, the habti, that ta is a pronoun that represents the fa'il of the verb. It's attached as a suffix to the verb. That's a pronoun. And qalu, the waw at the end of it, is an attached pronoun. All of these pronouns, those which are separate, huwa and hum and anta and antum, and those which are attached, like the habtu, the habta, the habti, and qalu, all of these are هَذِهِ دَمَائِرَ الرَّفْ. It says at the end of the line, هَذِهِ دَمَائِرَ الرَّفْ. So these are pronouns of رَفْ. Pronouns, they are مَبْنِيُون, but they are pronouns that are used in the position or the place where they should be مَرْفُوعٌ. In the place where they should be مَرْفُوعٌ. Next, they give us, if we turn to the next page, page 6, according to the numbers in the book, they gave us another set of pronouns. They are also, all of these are mabniyun, but the pronouns are divided into three types. Pronouns of raf, which we just saw, and then there are pronouns of nasb, yani, in the position where they should be mansub, and then there are pronouns of jar, in the position where they should be majroor. So they give us examples of pronouns of raf, huwa and hiya and anta and antum, and the connected pronouns where they are the fa'il, the habtu, the habta, the habti, the habu. And now they give us, on top of page 6, pronouns of nasb. Pronouns that are mabniyun, but they're in the place where they should be mansub. Like ra'aytuhu. The hu in ra'aytuhu is the maf'ulun bi. So it's in the position where it should be, yani mansub. As'aluka. Yani the ka is the maf'ulun bi. It's in the position where it should be mansub. Darabani, the ya, after the noon al-wiqaya, the ya al-mutakallam, the first person singular pronoun, darabani, the ya here is the maf'ulun bi. So it's in the position where it should be mansub. And I'll give one more example because all of these are maf'ulun bi, but sometimes a pronoun can be mansub and it's not maf'ulun bi, maybe it's ism inna. Or khabaru kana. So we can say innaha, yani the ha in innaha is ism inna. As ism inna, it's in the position where it should be mansub. And so on like this. Alright, so These are examples of pronouns that are in the position of being mansoob. So they are called dhamair and nasb. Pronouns of nasb. Yani pronouns that are mabniyun, but they're in the place where they should be mansoob. The third type of pronoun are pronouns of jar. Pronouns that are in the position where they should be majrur. And they gave us kitabuhu. The hu here is the mudhaf ilayhi. It's the possessive pronoun showing possession of the book. Whose book? His book. Kitabuhu. So hu here is mudhaf ilayhi. Mudhaf ilayhi is always majrur, but this is a pronoun. Pronouns are mabniyun, so we say it is mudhaf ilayhi mabniyun. Because it's a pronoun. Mabniyun, in the place where it should be majrur, fi mahalli jar. Daftaruha, her notebook. The ha here is mudhaf ilayhi. It's a possessive pronoun, attached possessive pronoun, showing possession. Her notebook, right? So ha here is mudhaf ilayhi. Mabniyun, in the place where it should be majrur. Mudhaf ilayhi is always majrur unless it's a word that is mabniyun. So we say in that case it's not majrur, but it's in the place where it should be majrur fi mahalli jar. Ismuka, again, it's a possessive pronoun, attached pronoun. Ismuka, yani your name, showing possession. It's mudhaf ilayhi. Mabniyun, in the place where it should be majrur, fi mahalli jar. Alayha, here, the ha in alayha, upon it, or upon her, means, in this position, it's the object of the preposition. And as the object of the preposition, it should be majrur, but it's a pronoun. So it's mabniyun fi mahalli jar, in the place where it should be majrur. And the same thing with lana, for us. The pronoun na is the object of the preposition. Yani this preposition is originally with kasra li, but when it's connected to these pronouns, it became fatha. Lana, laka, lahu, laha, and so on. It's originally the preposition li, and na is the object of the preposition, and the object of a preposition is majrur. Except in this case, because it's a pronoun, we say it is mabniyun fi mahalli jar, in the place where it should be majrur. So here, the first category of exceptions to all nouns being mu'rab are the dhamair, pronouns. Pronouns are not mu'rab, they are mabniyun. And the pronouns are of three types. Pronouns of raf, they are in the place where they should be marfu'un, and pronouns of nasb, in the place where they should be mansubun, and pronouns of jar, in the place where they should be majrurun. The second category of nouns which are an exception to the rule of nouns all being mu'rab, the second category of nouns which are an exception, they are mabniyun, are asma al-ishara, asma'ul isharati, nouns of ishara, pointing, demonstrative pronouns. For example, hadha, hadhihi, thalika, ulaika, all of these are asma al-ishara, they are demonstrative pronouns, they are mabniyun, except their duals, hadhani and hatani. The duals of the ism ishara, hadhani, these, the two of them, this, yani dual, masculine, or hatani, feminine, this, meaning two, when you're pointing to two things, are feminine, hadhani and hatani. These two, yani the duals, are mu'raban. Hadhani and hatani are mu'rabani. Okay, so the asma al-ishara as a whole are mabniyun. The endings don't change. And that's why if you say hadha kitabun, this is a book. Hadha is the mubtada, and mubtada is marfu'un. But we don't see a dhamma here. Why? Because hadha is the ism ishara. Ism ishara are mabniyun. So we say hadha kitabun. Hadha is the mubtada. It's an ism ishara, so it's mabniyun. It's in the place where it should be marfu'un as the mubtada. In the place where it should be marfu'un. Fi mahalli raf. So the asma al-ishara are mabniyun except their duals. The duals, the endings change. Hadhani, if it's marfu'un, if it became majrur or mansub, it became hadhaini. hatani if it's marfu'un, hatani if it's majrur or mansub. All right, and we'll like see the details of these things later. The third category of exceptions from nouns, yani these exceptions are nouns which are mabniun. The third group is al-asma al-mawsula, the relative pronouns like alladhi, allati, and alladhina. Yani alladhi and allati are the singular, masculine and feminine. Alladhina and allati are the masculine and feminine plurals, and so on. Likewise, their duals, alladhani and allatani, are mu'rabani. They are mu'rab. So they're an exception to the exception. Yani asma al-mawsula, relative pronouns, are an exception to general nouns. They are mabniyun. And from amongst them, the duals are an exception to relative pronouns. They are mu'rabun. They go back to the original rule. Okay? So alladhani, if it's marfu'un, if it became mansub or majrur, became alladhaini. Allatani, if it's marfu'un, it became allataini, if it's majrur or mansub. The fourth group, asma'u al-istifham, nouns that are used for seeking understanding, yani for asking a question, interrogative words. Like men, who, aina, where, ma, what, mata, when, kaifa, how. These words are mabniyun. They are mabniyun. So if you see them in a sentence, and they're in the position where they are the mubtada or the khabar, then we know mubtada and khabar are both marfu'un, but here we'll say what? That it is the mubtada, but it is ism, istifham, it's mabniyun in the place where it should be marfu'un. Or khabar, ism, istifham, mabniyun in the place where it should be marfu'un. The fifth category of exceptions, yani nouns that are mabniyun, ba'du dhuruf, some of the adverbs. And remember, the dharf are of two types, dharf al-zaman and dharf al-makan. So some adverbs are mabniyun. The examples they gave is idha, yani this is the adverb of time, when. Right? It's mabniyun on sukoon. The alif at the end of the word doesn't have a vowel. It's sakin. That means it's mabniyun ala sukoon. It never is going to change from ending with sukoon. Al-ana, now, is mabniyun ala fatha. It doesn't change from fatha. Haythu is mabniyun, yani wherever. Yani ijlis, haythu shitta. Sit wherever you wish. Wherever is a dharf al-makan. It's mabniyun on dhamma. It doesn't change from that. Amsi, yesterday, is a dharf al-zaman. It's mabniyun ala kasra. It doesn't change from kasra. So these are adverbs. Some of them adverb of time. Some of them adverb of place. Some adverbs, like these examples that he gave here, and some others, are mabniyun. Could be mabniyun ala sukoon like idha, mabniyun ala fatha like al-ana, mabniun ala dhamma like haythu, mabniun ala kasra like amsi. The sixth category, asma al-af'al. Yani ism fi'l means a noun that has the meaning of a verb. Verb nouns or verbal nouns. For example, ameen, which means istajib, yani answer. Yani when you make a dua and you say ameen, you're asking Allah to reply to your supplication, to accept your supplication. The next example they gave, uffin. It means atadajjaru. We'll look at this, we'll like study this later on, but the meaning of it is, it means I am annoyed, I am irritated. Uff. And Allah tells us in the Quran, don't even say such a thing as a small word like uff to your parents. And he's saying, they ask you to do something and you say uff, like I'm annoyed, I'm irritated, I don't want to be bothered with this. The next example they gave is ahi or ahin. Both of them have the meaning of an expression of pain. Atawajja'u. And we'll look at this in detail in the future. These are just examples of categories of nouns which are an exception. They are not mu'arab, they are mabniyun. So ameen is mabniyun ala sukoon. Uffin is mabniyun ala kasra. Ahin is mabniyun ala kasra. These are nouns that have the meaning of verbs. Yani, I feel pain. Ahi. Or ahin. Ah. I'm in pain. I feel pain. The meaning is the meaning of a verb, but this word is actually a noun. That's why it's called the ism fi'l. As a group, they're called asma'u al-af'al, verb nouns or verbal nouns. And they are actually nouns, and they are mabniyun. The last category is al-a'dad al-murakkaba. Al-a'dadu al-murakkabatu. Yani compound numbers. A'dad is the plural of adad, and murakkab means that yani something is attached on top of something else. So there are two words together to form one number, like ahada ashara, mabniyun ala fatha. Ahada, mabniyun ala fatha. Ashara, mabniyun ala fatha. Tis'ata ashara. Yani, both parts of this compound number are mabniyun ala fatha. Al-thalitha ashara, the 13th. Both parts of this number are mabniyun ala fatha. So this is the seventh category, the compound numbers. They are mabniyun on fatha. But there's an exception to that. The exception is al-juz'u al-awwalu min ithna ashara is mu'rabun. The first part of the compound number. Compound number is two words together, right? So the first part, al-juz al-awwal, from the number 12, ithna, the word ithna and ithna ashara, the word ithna is mu'rab. It does change. Yani if it's marfu and it has alif, ithna ashara. If it's majroor or mansub, it becomes ithnay ashara. Ithnay ashara. Okay, so it changes. It is mu'rab. The first part, the second part of the number is still mabniyun on fatha. It doesn't change. Ithna changes from ithna to ithnay, and the feminine counterpart, ithnata ashrata, also the first part of the number changes. Ithnata changes to ithnatay ashrata, yani if it's mansub or majroor. Alright, so the point here is that the compound numbers are mabniyun. Both parts of the number are mabniyun, except the number 12, the first part of the number 12, masculine and feminine. Ithna and ithnata become ithnay and ithnate when they are majroor or mansub. So they gave us an example here. Yadrusu fil fasli ithna ashara taliban. 12 students are studying. Yadrusu fil fasli, in the classroom. 12 students. In this sentence, yadrusu is the fi'l. Ithna ashara is the fa'il. Ithna ashara is the fa'il. Who is it that is studying? 12 students. So as the fa'il, it should be marfu'un. And for the number 12, the first part of the number is mu'rab, so it changes. When it's marfu'un, it takes alif. When it's mansub or majroor, it takes ya. So in this sentence, ithna ashara is the fa'il, it's marfu'un. The first part of the number is mu'rab. So we see it taking alif, indicating that it's marfu'un. In the next example, we see it change to being maf'ulun bi mansub. It changed from ithna to ithnay. And in the third example, we see it changed to being the object of the preposition. So it's majroor, it changed from ithna to ithnay. So in the first example, yadrusu fil fasli ithna ashara, it's the fa'il marfu'un. Sign that it's marfu'un is alif. In the second example, ra'aytu ithnay ashara taliban. Ra'aytu ithnay ashara taliban. I saw 12 students. Here in this sentence, ra'a is the fi'l, two is the fa'il, and ithnay ashara is the maf'ulun bi. The first part of the number 12 is mu'rab, so it changes from ithna here as the maf'ulun bi to ithnay. The second part of the number 12 is mabniyun, so it doesn't change. And taliban is the tamyiz. The third sentence, hadha at-ta'amu li ithnay ashara taliban. This food is for 12 students. Here, ithnay ashara is the object of the preposition li. As the object of the preposition is majroor, and since the first part of the number 12 is mu'rab, it changes from ithna when it's marfu'un to ithnay when it's mansub or majroor. Alright, so the point is that this seventh category of nouns, which are an exception, these nouns are mabniyun, contains the compound numbers, they are mabniyun, except the first part, al-juz al-awwal, from the number 12, it changes from ithna And the feminine form ithnata to ithnayn, ithnatay, when it becomes mansub or majroor. Okay, that's the end of that first section of this lesson. That is the exceptions to the general rule of nouns being mu'rab. These seven categories, you already know them, but you should memorize that there are seven, and what are the seven categories of nouns that are mabniyun with the exceptions. Yani the asma al-ishara, their duals are mu'rab, and asma al-mawsula, their duals are mu'rab, and the first part of the number 12, the first part of the number 12 is also mu'rab. Otherwise, these seven categories of nouns are mabniyun. Turn to page 7, and we deal with the second matter that we need to know about, and that is, yani, the five categories of nouns that have secondary endings. Five categories of nouns that have secondary endings. Instead of dhamma, kasra, and fatha, they have other types of endings, either a different vowel or a letter that represents the sign of the i'rab. Okay, so this is our second subject, five categories of nouns that have secondary endings. Alamat, yani, far'iyya. So let's start by stating the basic rule. Alamatu al-i'rabi al-asliyatu wal-far'iyyatu. Alamat al-i'rab, the signs of i'rab, the signs of the changing endings of nouns. Al-asliya, which are primary signs or original signs, and al-far'iyya, which are secondary signs or branches. So there are original signs of i'rab, that's fatha, kasra, and dhamma, and then there are branches, or there are primary signs and secondary signs. Let's use the word primary and secondary. Al-asliya, the primary signs, and then al-far'iyya, the secondary signs. So the signs of i'rab in nouns, there are primary signs, that is fatha, kasra, and dhamma, which we know about well, and then there are secondary signs. Some words have secondary signs of i'rab. Yani the sign of it being marfu'un is not dhamma. The sign of it being mansub is not fatha. The sign of it being majroor is not kasra. It's some other sign, a secondary sign. And we know about these signs because we've seen these five categories of words in book 1 or in book 2. Yani most of them we've seen in book 1. So we actually know about these words, these categories, and we know about their signs, but maybe we didn't pay careful enough attention to it, and that's why this is sort of like a review. Some of it, if we didn't have it before, we're going to take it in level 3 or level 4, but most of it we had in book 1, in level 1 and level 2. Five categories of nouns that have secondary signs. And that's why when we look at the i'rab of sentences, we always say that this word is the mubtada, it's marfu', and the sign that it's marfu' is dhamma. Yani the primary sign of a word being marfu' is dhamma. But there are words, and we have five categories of them that we're going to look at right now, which the sign of it being marfu'un is not dhamma. Rather, it has a secondary sign, far'iyya, yani, alama far'iyya. So let's look at the top of page 7. It says, alamatu al-i'rabi, the signs of i'rab, al-asliyatu, the primary signs, wal-far'iyyatu, the secondary signs. Alamatu al-i'rab, al-asliyatu, fil-ism, the primary signs, the original signs of i'rab, in the noun is al-dhamma, al-fatha, and al-kasra. Al-dhammatu wa hiya alamatu al-raf'i. Al-dhamma, it is the sign of a raf, yani of a word being marfu'un, like ja'a al-talibu, yani the student came. Al-talibu is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. That's the primary sign of a word being marfu'un. Al-fathatu wa hiya alamatu al-nasb. Al-fatha is also a primary sign. For nouns, it is the sign of a noun being nasb, yani being mansub, as in ra'aytu at-taliba. I saw the student, at-taliba is the maf'ulun bi, it's mansub, the sign that's mansub. Primary sign of being mansub is fatha. The examples I'm just adding just for clarification. Al-kasratu wa hiya alamatu al-jarr. Al-kasra, it is the sign of jar, yani it's the sign that a noun is majroor, as in marartu bit-talibi. I pass by the student, yani bi at-talibi, yani here in this sentence, at-talibi is majroor because of bi. Sign that is majroor is a primary sign, it's kasra. Okay, so we know these primary signs, we learned them, yani we were introduced to the signs of i'rab of a word in book 1 in lesson 4 when we studied prepositions. We said that nouns originally have dhamma as their sign of being marfu'un, but when they are the object of a preposition, that changes it from being marfu'un to majrur, and the primary sign of a word being majrur is kasra. We saw that in book 1 lesson 4. So we know about these primary signs, and further down we saw secondary signs for nouns even in book 1 and some in book 2. So here's the secondary signs. وَهُنَاكَ عَلَامَاتٌ أُخْرَى فَرَعِيَّةٌ. And there are signs, other signs, alamat ukhra, which are faraiyya, secondary signs. Secondary signs. وَهِيَ فِي الْعَنْوَى الْآتِيَ مِنَ الْأَسْمَى. And these secondary signs come in the following kinds or types of nouns. أَنْوَاعِ الْآتِيَةِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ. These secondary signs are in the following types of nouns. There are 5 types. We're familiar with all of them. We just need to make sure we understand the details of these secondary signs for these 5 types of nouns. We should memorize these 5 categories, 5 types of nouns, 5 sorts of nouns, and what are their secondary signs. Some of them have secondary signs for every case, marfu and mansub and majrur, and some of them have secondary signs only for one case. And we'll start with the ones that have one case of secondary sign for only one case, and then there's 2 types like that, and then the other 3 types have secondary signs for all 3 cases of being marfu and mansub and majrur. So hunaka, we're on page 7, near the top of the page and a little bit down. Hunaka alamatun ukhra faraiyatun. There are other signs which are secondary signs, and they are in the following types of nouns. Number 1, jam'u al-mu'annathi as-salimi, the sound feminine plural. Number 2, al-mamnu'u min as-sarfi, the diptote or non-declinable words. Number 3, al-asma'u al-khamsatu, the 5 special nouns. Number 4, jam'u al-mudhakkari as-salimi, the sound masculine plural. And number 5, al-muthanna, the dual words. Okay, so these are the 5 categories. Let's look at, I'm just going through it, just any overview of that there are 5 types. The sound feminine plural, the diptote, the 5 nouns, the sound masculine plural, and the dual. Let's look at the examples that they gave and the explanation of their secondary signs. On page 7, halfway down the page, number 1, jam'u al-mu'annathi as-salimi, the plural, yani as-salimi, the sound feminine plural, sound feminine plural. Alamatu nasb fihi al-kasratu, the sign of it being mansub in the sound feminine plural is kasra. Nahwa, for example, like khalaqa Allahu السماوات والأرض. خلق الله السماوات والأرض. Allah created the heavens and the earth. خلق is the fa'il, the love of the Jalal. Allah is the fa'il, and السماوات is the مفعول به, and الأرض is يعني معطوف on it as also مفعول به, معطوف by واو العطف. So here in this sentence, السماوات is مفعول به, therefore it's منصوب. The primary sign of a word when it's mansub is fatha, but here we see kasra. So that means that the sound feminine plural, when it's mansub, it has a secondary sign. It doesn't have the primary sign of fatha, rather, it has a secondary sign, kasra, a vowel change as a secondary sign. The second type of noun that has a secondary sign is al-mamnu' min as-sarfi, the diptote, the non-declinable word, meaning it declines partially but not fully. Okay, so it has a normal sign when it's marfu'un, it has a normal sign when it is mansub, but it has a secondary sign when it's majrur. Al-mamnu' min as-sarfi, alamatu jarri fihi al-fathatu, the sign of it being majrur in this type of word, mamnu' min as-sarf, is fatha instead of kasra. It's a secondary sign because the primary sign for a word when it's majrur is kasra, but here we see the mamnu min al-sarf, when it is majroor, it doesn't take kasra, it takes fatha. Substituting for the kasra, it takes yani fatha. So these two first types of categories, the sound feminine plural and the diptote, they have only one secondary sign. The sound feminine plural has a secondary sign when it's mansoob. Instead of fatha, it takes kasra. And the diptote has a secondary sign when it's majroor. Instead of kasra, it takes fatha. Both of them, what they have in common is that they only have one secondary sign, and that secondary sign is a substituting vowel. Substituting vowel. The example of mamnu min al-sarf they gave us, idhab ila fir'auna. Idhab ila fir'auna. Go to fir'aun. Here, fir'aun is the object of the preposition ila, therefore it's majroor. But the sign of it being majroor is not kasra. It's not the primary sign of jar. Rather, it's a secondary sign. Yani, especially for diptotes, when it is majroor, instead of taking kasra, it takes fatha. So here, the fatha takes the place of kasra for the diptote when it is majroor. The remaining three groups that complete the five groups of nouns that have secondary signs, they have secondary signs not just in one position, but in all of their positions. And their secondary signs are letters, not the changing of a vowel, but they are letters as the sign of their i'rab. Okay, and they have secondary signs in all cases when they are marfu and mansub and majroor. So, category number three, al-asma al-khamsatu, al-asma al-khamsatu, the five nouns or the five special nouns in Arabic that have, yani, a secondary sign of their i'rab instead of dhamma, fatha and kasra, they have waw, alif and ya. What are the five special nouns? Wahiya abuka, akhuka, hamuka, fuka and dhu. Yani the word ab and akh and ham and fem and dhu. But they only have this special i'rab when they are in idafa. That's why we have seen them here in idafa, so we can see their secondary sign, because they have to be in idafa to have that secondary sign. Ab, by itself, if it's not an idafa, it doesn't have a secondary sign. It takes dhamma, kasra, and fatha. And akh, the same thing. And ham, the same thing. And the word fem, it has normal primary signs unless you remove the meem. When you remove the meem, it can come with the meem or without the meem. If it comes without the meem in idafa, then it has this secondary sign. And dhu is always in idafa. Dhu is only used in idafa. The other words can be used in idafa or outside of idafa. But the point is, the secondary sign for al-asma al-khamsa is only when they are in idafa. Dhu is always in idafa. The others may or may not be in idafa. The secondary sign is only when they are in idafa. And by the way, yani, it's also only when they are in idafa to anything except ya al-mutakallam, the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallam, e. And we'll come to that. So, what do we say here? Al-asma al-khamsa. Here, abuka, it has to be an idafa. Akhuka, it has to be an idafa. Hamuka and fuka. Abuka, ab, father, akh, brother. Ham, yani, the male relatives of the husband, like his brother. And so on. Yani, that's meaning of ham, the male relatives of a woman's husband. Fuk means mouth, fem, and dhu means sahib, possessor of something. Kullu al-alamati fiha fara'iyya. All of the signs in this type of word, asma al-khamsa, when it is in idafa, all of its signs are fara'iyya, or secondary signs. Wahiyya, yani those secondary signs, alamatu al-raf'i al-waw. The sign of it being marfoon is waw. Nahu, for example, aja'a abuka, did your father come? Here the word ab is an idafa to ka, and therefore it has a secondary sign of it being marfu'un. In this sentence, aja'a abuka, has your father come? Yani, abu is the fa'il of ja'a, and as the fa'il is marfu'un, the primary sign of a word being marfu'un is dhamma, but because it's from the asma al-khamsa and it's an idafa to other than ya al-mutakallam, so it has a secondary sign. The secondary sign of marfu'un is waw. Alamatu nasbi al-alifu. The sign of it being mansub is the letter alif. For example, أَعْرِفُ أَبَاكَ, I know your father. In this sentence, أَبَا is the maf'ulun bi, it's mansub, the sign of it being mansub here, instead of fatha is alif, because it's from al-asma al-khamsa, and it is an idafa to other than ya al-mutakallim. Because it's from asma al-khamsa, and it has to be an idafa, and that idafa has to be to an idafa to anything other than ya al-mutakallim. وَعَلَامَةُ جَرِّ الْيَاءُ, the sign of it being majroor for the asma al-khamsa is ya. Sign of it being marfoon is waw. Sign of it being mansub is alif. Sign of it being majroor is ya. So we see that the secondary signs here are the elongation of the primary signs. Yani when it's marfoon, instead of dhamma, it's waw. When it's mansub, instead of fatta, it's alif, which elongates the fatta. When it's majroor, instead of kasra, it's ya, which elongates the ya. So the elongation of the primary sign, waw, alif, and ya, are the secondary signs for asma al-khamsa, as long as they are in idalfa, and that idalfa is to other than ya al-mutakallim. The example of it being majroor with ya is, aina sayyaratu abika, where is the father, the car of your father? Where is the car of your father? In this sentence, abi is mudaf ila sayyara. It's mudaf ilayhi. I'm sorry, it's mudaf ilayhi. And as mudaf ilayhi, it's majroor. The mudaf ilayhi is always majroor. The sign of it being majroor, though, instead of kasra, is ya, because ab is from asma al-khamsa, and here it is an idafa to kaf, and it's not an idafa to ya al-mutakallim. Okay, now we have a little bit more detail concerning these asma al-khamsa, which I have already mentioned, but let's read it in Arabic. تُعْرَبُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْخَمْسَةُ بِهَذِهِ الْعَلَامَاتِ إِذَا كَانَتْ مُضَافَةً إِلَى غَيْرِ يَاءِ الْمُتَكَلِّمِ وَإِلَّا أُعْرِبَتْ بِالْعَلَامَاتِ الْأَصْلِيَّةِ. Okay, what are we saying here? تُعْرَبُ الْأَسْمَاء الْخَمْسَة, the five special nouns, they are declined بهذه العلامات, with these secondary signs, إذا كانت مضافة, if they are an إضافة, and if that إضافة is إلى غير يا المتكلم, only when they are an إضافة and that إضافة is not to يا المتكلم, يعني the يا that corresponds to أنا, first person singular pronoun يا المتكلم. So this إعراب, this special إعراب of the five special words, with these special signs, secondary signs, is only when they are an idafa, and they must be an idafa to other than ya al-mutakallam, to anything other than ya al-mutakallam. Clear nouns, pronouns, anything except ya al-mutakallam. Otherwise, wa illa u'ribat bil alamat al-asliya. Otherwise, if they are not an idafa, then their i'rab, they are declined with the primary signs of i'rab, fatha, kasra, and dhamma. So for example, we see the word akh, li akhun. Here the word akh is not an idafa. Therefore, its i'rab is the primary sign. Akh, yani it's marfu'un as mubtada mu'akhar. It's the mubtada, but it's mu'akhar. But in any case, the mubtada is marfu'un. Sign of it marfu'un is dhamma. That's the primary sign. That's because it's not in idafa. Second example, سألت أخن, I asked a brother. Here in this sentence, أخن is the مفعولن بي, it's mansub, and we see the sign of being mansub is the primary sign, fatta, because it's not in إضافه. Third example, أنت كأخن, يعني you are like a brother. Here, يعني أخن is the object of the preposition كا, and therefore it's مجرور, and the sign of being مجرور is the primary sign, كسرة, because it's not in idafa. So these secondary signs for these words are used only when they are in idafa. If they're not in idafa, they have their regular primary signs. And also, if they're not in idafa to ya al-mutakallam, because if they're in idafa to ya al-mutakallam, the last vowel on the letter before ya al-mutakallam must always be kasra. So we're not going to see it changing from dhamma to fatha and so on. It's going to always be kasra, and that's because of ya al-mutakallam. In that case, we're not going to see the secondary signs. Because these words, if they're attached to ya al-mutakallam, they're going to always end with kasra, no matter if they're in the position of being marfu'un or mansub or majroor. The fourth category of the five types of nouns that have secondary signs is جمعُ المذكري السالمي, the sound masculine plural. And we had this in Book 1, Lesson 13. And we also had it in Book 2, some further details about the إعراب of the sound masculine plural. Here it says, كُلُّ العلامات فيه فرعية. Each of the signs in this type of word, this type of noun, each of the signs in it is فرعية, is secondary, is a secondary sign. Yani when it's marfoon, it has a secondary sign. When it's mansoob, and when it's majroon, each case it has a secondary sign. وهي, what are its secondary signs? For the sound masculine plural, علامة الرفع الواو. The sign of it being marfoon is wow, like دخل المدرسون. The teachers entered. Here, المدرسون is the fa'il, marfoon. The sign of it being marfoon is not dhamma, rather it's a secondary sign, wow. علامة النصب الياء. The sign of it being mansub is the ya. For example, سألت المدرسين. I asked the teachers. Here in this sentence, المدرسين is the مفعولن بي منسوب. Sign that is منسوب is not فتح, rather it's يا, because it's from the sound masculine plurals. علامة جر الياء. For example, the sign of it being مجرور is يا. For example, هذه غرفة المدرسين. This is the room of the teachers, or the teacher's room. Here in this sentence, المدرسين is مضاف إليه, مضاف to غرفة, مضاف إليه, مجرور. Sign that is مجرور is not كسرة, rather it is يا, secondary sign, because it's a sound masculine plural. So note here that the sound masculine plural has a secondary sign in each of its three cases. When it is مرفون, the sign of it being مرفون is واو. When it's mansub and when it's majroor, the sign of it being mansub or majroor is ya. So the ya is the sign for the sound masculine plural. It's the sign of it being mansub and it's the sign of it being majroor. The last category of these five nouns that have five types of nouns that have secondary signs is the muthanna, the dual. We had this in Lesson 18 in Book 1. And we had further details about it in Book 2. So, the muthanna, we are familiar with this type of word, even from Book 1. In each of its cases, marfu, mansub, and majroor, it has a secondary sign. Kullu al-alamati fihi fara'iyyatun. Each of the signs in it are secondary signs. The dual, muthanna. Alamatu al-raf'i, the sign of it being marfoon, is al-alif. Like, ghaba talibani. Two students were absent. Here in this sentence, talibani is the fa'il, marfu'un. And the sign of being marfu'un is not dhamma, rather it's a secondary sign, it's alif, because that's the sign of raf in the dual words. Al-fa'il in this sentence is marfu'un. The sign of being marfu'un is alif. Wa'alamatu nasbi al-ya'u. The sign of it being mansub for the dual words, the sign of it being mansub is ya'. Like, طالب المدير طالبين. The مدير, the principal, requested two students. In this sentence, طالبين is the مفعول به. Therefore, it's منسوب. The sign of it being منسوب is not فتح. Rather, it's a secondary sign, يا, because that's the sign of a dual word being منسوب. وعلامة الجر الياء. And the sign of it being majroor is also ya, like hadhihi al-ghurfatu li-talibaini. Hadhihi al-ghurfatu li-talibaini. This room is for two students. In this sentence, talibaini is the object of the preposition li, and therefore it is majroor. And the sign of it being majroor is not kasra, rather it is a secondary sign that is ya, because yani the sign of jar in dual words is ya. Again, the dual words in every case it has a secondary sign when it's marfu, and the sign of it being marfu is alif, talibani. When it is mansub or majroor, the sign of it being mansub or majroor is ya, talibani. Change from talibani to talibani when it is mansub and when it is majroor. Again, note that ya is the sign of a dual word being mansub, and it is also the sign of it being majroor. Tayyib, the third subject, yani, so the second subject is what? Five categories or types of nouns in Arabic that have secondary signs. Either, yani, it is a change of vowel from fatha to kasr or kasr to fatha, or is a change of a letter, a waw, a alif, a ya, and so on. Five categories of nouns, we're familiar with all of those categories, and each of them has at least one secondary sign, as in the sound feminine plural and the mamnu' min as-sarf, and the others have all secondary signs, the sound masculine plural, the dual, and the asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns. The last topic in this first half of the lesson, before the questions, and I don't know if we'll finish this topic today, but the last topic is, maybe we'll finish it, is those nouns which have takdiri i'rab. Yani the i'rab, it's not mabniyun, as we saw in the first subject, nouns that are mabniyun. It's not mabniyun, it's mu'rab, but we don't see the signs of the i'rab. Yani the i'rab, the sign of the i'rab is latent. It's understood, it's estimated to be dhamma wa fatha wa kasra and so on like this. Yani it's latent, it's laying dormant. We don't see it appear. It's there, but it doesn't appear. Al-i'rab at-taqdiriyu. Al-i'rabu at-taqdiriyu. Yani the latent type of i'rab. The opposite of this i'rab is yani the zahira. Yani the signs are apparent. Yani, so you say dhamma zahira. Here you say dhamma muqaddara, is takdiri. Alright, so it is a latent ending or dormant ending that does not appear. Al-i'rab al-takdiri. Again, we want to be clear that the i'rab al-takdiri is not for a word that is mabniyun, rather it is mu'rab, but we just don't see its signs. We just don't see its sign. It says here, al-i'rabu al-takdiriyu la tadhharu alamatu al-i'rabi fi thalathati anwa'in min al-asma'. La tadhharu alamatu al-i'rab. The signs of i'rab, of declension, in these nouns does not appear. And that is in three types of nouns. Thalathati anwa'in min al-asma'. فَتُقَدَّرُ فِيهَا الْعَلَامَاتِ. So the signs in these three types of nouns, تُقَدَّر, meaning they are estimated. They are estimated. We understand that it is Dhamma or Kasra or Fatha, but we don't see it. So we say it is Dhamma مُقَدَّرَ or Kasra مُقَدَّرَ or Fatha مُقَدَّرَ. وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْوَى. Here, these three types of nouns in which the i'rab is not visible, it doesn't appear, or in three types of words, al-maqsooru, which we'll explain, al-manqoosu, which we'll explain, and al-mudhafu ila ya'i al-mutakallami. And we alluded to this in the last topic. Al-mudhaf ila ya'i al-mutakallam. These are three types of words, the maqsoor, the manqoos, and the word that is mudhaf to ya'i al-mutakallam, in which we don't see the apparent sign of the i'rab. So the first one is al-maqsoor. What is al-maqsoor? هو الاسم المعرب الذي آخره ألف ألف لازمة. يعني it's a noun that's معرب, it's not مبنيون, but its ending آخره is ألف لازمة. It's an ألف that is an essential, mandatory part of the word. It's not an added letter. It's an essential part of the word. ألف لازمة. Like for example, Mustashfa, the hospital. That alif maqsoor on the end is an essential part of the word. Al-fata, the young man. That Aleph Maksura on the end of the word is an essential part of the word. Al-Asa, that Aleph Mamduda at the end of the word is an essential part of the word. It's an actual part of the word. Alright? So this Al-Maksur, we were introduced to this in Lesson 8 in Book 1. The Ism Maksur is a noun that ends with Aleph. Aleph Maksura, that looks like the Ya without its two dots, or Aleph Mamduda, that's written straight up and down like a number 1. Okay, the word that ends with Aleph, that's an essential part of the word, it's not something added. That word is called Al-Maksur. Because it ends with Aleph, we can't see the vowel, because Aleph is not a consonant. It's a letter of the alphabet, it's not a consonant, it never takes a vowel. Aleph. Okay, so for that reason, the sign of its I'rab is going to be muqaddar. It's going to be estimated. We're not going to actually see it. So it says here, for the maksur, تُقَدَّرُ فِيهِ الْعَلَامَاتُ الثَّلَاثُ. Yani, all three signs in the ism maksur are takdiri, are latent, are estimated. Like, قَتَلَ الْفَتَى الْأَفْعَى بِالْعَصَى. قَتَلَ, he killed. الْفَتَى, the young man killed. الْأَفْعَى, the snake. بِالْعَصَى, with the stick. تقول في إعراب هذه الكلمات, we say concerning the إعراب of these words, يعني قتل الفتى العفا بالعصا, we say الفتى is the فاعل, قتل is the فعل, الفتى is the فاعل, مرفوع وعلامة رفعه ضمة مقدرة. We don't see the ضمة in الفتى, but it is يعني latent. So فاعل مرفوع, how do we explain it إعراب? We say al-fata is the fa'il, so it's marfoon, and the sign of it being marfoon is dhamma muqaddara. It's a dhamma that is latent. It is laying dormant. It is not visible. It doesn't appear. Al-afa, yani the young man killed, al-afa, the snake, is the maf'ulun bi mansoob. Maf'ulun bi mansoob. Wa alamatu nasbihi fathatun muqaddaratun. It's a fatta that is muqaddara. It's latent. Laying dormant, not visible, doesn't appear. Al-asa, bil-asa, yani al-asa in this sentence is majroor by the preposition ba. Walamatu jarrihi kasratun muqaddaratun. And the sign of it being majroor is the kasra, that is muqaddara, yani it is not visible, it's latent. So this is the first of the three types of nouns that have yani i'rab that's takdiri, it doesn't appear. The second type, I have 10 minutes before the adhan, so we might take a couple of extra minutes. The second type is al-manqus. What is the manqus? Huwa al-ismu al-mu'rabu alladhi akhiruhu ya'un lazimatun. It is a noun that is mu'rab, it's not mabniun, it declines. But the ending of it is the ya that is lazima. It's an essential, original part of the word. It's not added. Maqsurun ma qablaha. And the letter before that ya has kasra. Maqsurun ma qablaha. It is maqsur. It takes kasra, whatever is before it. For example, al-qadi. The ya in this word is an essential, original part of the word. It's not extra. And it's preceded by kasra. That is what we mean by manqus. It's a word that has an essential ya at the end of the word that's preceded by kasra. Al-qadi, the judge. Al-muhami, the attorney. Al-thani, the second. Al-madi, the past. Al-wadi, the valley. Al-ma'ani, the meanings, plural of ma'na. In this type of word, the manqus, that ends with an essential ya that's preceded by kasra, تُقَدَّرُ فِيهِ الضَّمَّةُ وَالْكَسْرَةُ. Yani, the latent sign of its i'rab is the dhamma and the kasra only. وَتَظْهَرُ فِيهِ الْفَتْحَةُ. As far as the fatah, if it's mansub with fatah, we see the fatah in this type of word. But we don't see the dhamma and we don't see the kasra. Unlike the maksur, all of its signs are taqdiri. Fatah, kasra, and dhamma here. The Dhamma and the Kasra are Muqaddara, and the Fatha is, yani, Zahira. تَظْهَرُ فِيهِ الْفَتْحَةُ. like Sa'ala al-Qadi al-Muhamiya an al-Jani. Sa'ala al-Qadi, Sa'ala is the fa'il, al-Qadi is the fa'il, al-Muhami is the maf'ulun bi, and al-Jani is the object of the preposition an. The meaning, the Qadi, the judge, asked the Muhami, the lawyer, about al-Jani, the criminal. تقول في إعراب هذه الكلمات, and we say concerning the إعراب of these words, القاضي, يعني سأل القاضي, is فائل مرفوع, ولامة رفعه ضمة مقدرة, يعني it's the latent ضمة that doesn't appear. المهامية is the مفعول به, منصوب, ولامة نصبه فتحة ظاهرة. Remember, in this type of word, the منقوص, if it is mansub, the fatah appears. It's not takdiri. The dhamma is takdiri. The kasra is takdiri. The fatah is not. Alamatu nasbihi fathatun zahiratun. Yani fatah that is apparent. As far as al-jani, it is majroor bi an. Yani it's majroor by the preposition an. Wa alamatu jarrihi kasratun muqaddaratun. And the sign of it being majroor is the kasra that is muqaddara. It is estimated. Then there's a note on the next page, page 10. قَدْ تَكُونُ الْمَنْقُوسُ مَحْذُوفَ الْيَا. Sometimes the manqus word, it's ya, though it's essential. In some cases, it may lose its ya. For example, ذَهَبَ قَادٍ إِلَى مُحَامٍ. The judge went to the lawyer, to the attorney. There's a footnote here, this footnote explains when that ya must be retained and when it may lose it. Sometimes it can lose its ya. Those cases when it can't lose it, it says in the footnote number 1 at the bottom of the page, تَثْبُتُ يَاُ الْمَنْكُوسِ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ حَالَاتِ. Yani, the ya of the manqus is confirmed, is yani established. It's not removed in 3 cases. Number 1, أَيَكُونُ مَحَلًّا بِالْأَلَفِ وَاللَّامِ. When it has alif lam, it can't lose its ya. For example, al-qadi, or as we saw before, al-wadi and al-muhami. The second case, أَيَكُونُ مُضَافًا نَحْوَ قَادِي مَكَّةَ. When it is mudaf, it can't lose its ya. So we say qadi makkah. Or Muhami al-Difa'a, the defense lawyer. Or Wadi al-Aqiq, the valley of Aqiq in Medina. The third case is, أن يكون منصوبا نحو سألت قاديا. When it is mansub, we said, it retains its ya. When it is mansub, it retains its ya. So when it has alif lam, when it is mudaf, and when it is mansub, it cannot lose its ya. Other than that, sometimes the ya will be omitted, except in these 3 cases. If it has alif lam, it doesn't lose its ya. If it is mudaf, in idafa construction mudaf, it doesn't lose its ya. And when it is mansub, it doesn't lose its ya. Sa'altu qadiyan, ra'aytu thaniyan, and so on like this. Okay, so the point here is that the manqus, it has yani signs of i'rab that are taqdiri when it has dhamma and when it has kasra, not when it has fatha. And sometimes it may lose its ya at the end, and that is if it doesn't have alif lam, or it's not mudaf, or it's not mansub. So in that case, we will see this example, ذَهَبَ قَادٍ إِلَى مُحَامٍ. The judge went to the attorney, the lawyer. تَقُولُ فِي عِرَابْ هَاتَيْنِ الْكَلِمَتَيْنِ. How do we explain the i'rab of these 2 words? Qadin is the fa'il. Dhahaba qadin marfu'un wa lamatu raf'ihi dammatun muqaddaratun ala al-ya'i al-mahdhufati. How do we explain the i'rab? We say that the sign of its i'rab is dhamma muqaddara. We don't see it. It's muqaddara upon the ya' al-mahdhufa. Here the ya' has been deleted. Remember we said if it doesn't have alif lam, it's not mansub and it's not mudaf, it will lose its ya. So that ya that has been mahdhufa, deleted, we say that the sign of the i'rab is dhamma, that's muqaddara, on the ya that's mahdhufa. the estimated Dhamma, latent Dhamma, on the Ya that has been omitted or deleted. What do we say about the I'rab Muhammin? That it is Ila Muhammin, Majrurun bi Ila. It's Majrur because of the preposition Ila. Walamatu Jarrihi, the sign that it's Majrur is Kasratun Muqaddaratun Ala Al Ya'i Al Mahdufati. It is the Kasra that is Muqaddara on the Ya that has been omitted because it didn't have Alif Lam, it's not Mudaf, and it is not Mansub. So the Ya has been deleted, but that Ya that has been deleted, the sign of the I'rab is Muqaddara. It is estimated to be Kasra in this case on the Ya that has been omitted. Okay, so I know it's almost time for the adhan here, so let's just look at this last point and then we'll look at the charts next week and the question and answers, yani, for next week. So for next week, inshallah, we're going to do the charts and we're going to also do the questions that came with this first half in the next session. This is the last point. We're going to stop with this point. The third type of noun that has taqdiri i'rab, yani the signs of its i'rab are not visible, is al-mudafu ila ya'i al-mutakallimi, yani the noun that is connected in idafa to ya al-mutakallim, yani the ya that represents the first person singular ana. Like zamili, zamil is mudaf to ya al-mutakallim, e, yani my friend. Tuqaddaru fihi al-alamatu al-thalathatu, yani the signs, the three signs for marfu'un and mansub and majrur are estimated, are latent, are not visible in this type of noun that's connected in idafa to ya al-mutakallim. Like da'a jaddi ustadhi ma'a zumala'i, my grandfather invited my teacher along with my classmates. Okay, da'a jaddi with kasra, ustadhi with kasra, ma'a zumala'i, all of them ending with kasra because of what? Because of ya al-mutakallim. Taqulu fi i'rab hadhihi al-kalima, you say concerning the i'rab of these words, da'a jaddi. Jaddi is what? Fa'ilun marfu'un. Fa'ilun marfu'un. Wa alamatu raf'ihi dhammatun muqaddaratun. Dhammatun muqaddaratun. والياء مضاف إليه. So we say in terms of the i'rab of jaddi that it is the fa'il, it's marfu'un, the sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. We don't see it because it's in idafa to ya al-mutakallim. والياء, يعني the ya al-mutakallim is مضاف إليه. أستاذي, يعني is the مفعول بي, منصوب. It's the مفعول بي, منصوب. وعلامة نصبه فتحة مقدرة. The sign of it being mansub is fatha, but it's muqaddara. It's latent, it's not visible, it doesn't appear. And the ya in ustadhi, that it is mudaf ilayhi. It's because of the ya that we don't see the... It's because of the ya that we don't see the sign of its i'rab. And then finally, Zumala'i, what do we say about Zumala'i? Ma'a Zumala'i. Ma'a is a dharf, and Zumala'i is mudafun ilayhi. Zumala'i, mudafun ilayhi majroor. It's mudaf to ma'a, so it's majroor. And the sign, alamatu jarrihi kasratun muqaddaratun, wal ya'u mudafun ilayhi. The ya' al-mutakallam is mudaf ilayhi, which yani requires that the last letter before ya' al-mutakallam be a kasra. And that's why this kasra is not the sign of i'rab. It's the kasra that is attached to ya al-mutakallim. So the i'rab of this word, it's mudaf ilayhi, mudaf to ma'a. But the sign of it being majroor is, yani, kasra muqaddara. Some scholars say that it is kasra. That's an opinion. Apparently, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, his view is that, the stronger view is that it is kasra muqaddara. Okay, this is all that we can cover for today. Pardon us for going a little over time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us all. And next week, inshallah, we'll look at the charts and we'll look at the questions and answers and maybe a little bit of the second part of the lesson. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah accept from me and you our deeds. May He recognize, record, and reward them. Forgive our shortcomings. Keep us firm upon His straight path. To return to Him in the condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing with Him. Jazakum Allah khair wa barakallahu feekum.